Good morning. Welcome to the Genesis Church Sunday morning service. My name is Mark Vaughn. I'm pastor here at Genesis Church in Honeypath. I'd like to start us off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come to you this morning. Father, we may not be in the same building, but as long as we are of the same heart and same mind, that's what matters. Where there are two or more gathered in your name, under these circumstances, with the same heart and same mind towards hearing God's word, then you are there. Father, just ask that as we go through this service and prayers, that your words are heard over mine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I want to get things started off this week with a little bit on the, with a little smile. That's our son, Braden Couch, and he is a senior at BHP High School, and he, like so all the other high school seniors and college seniors, their plans have been interrupted. But Braden's determined, get the diploma, not the corona. And so hopefully that's got everybody smiling a little bit. There may be some people that are new to our church. I wanted to go through a little bit of history with it. Genesis Church has been here for 10 years in the Honeypath area. We started off at the Watkins Center, and we were basically a church on wheels. We ran the space every Sunday, and then about 6 or 7 years ago, we were able to start renting this building, and we've been here ever since, but this is not where we're going to end at. Our church family has a vision for where we're going to go and what we're going to do. We have been able to purchase over 7 acres off Highway 76, right off Highway 76 on Horseshoe Road, about 4.5 miles from where we're at, because it's hurt us. It has hurt me, the board, our family, that our church family, that we can't have Bible school and we can't have a playground where we're at. And we're thankful for the location, but we have a vision where these children that one day, they're in children's church right now, one day they're going to be getting baptized over in our new building. They're going to have vacation Bible school at their new building. They're going to eventually be getting married at our new church. And hopefully their children will come there one day. Then after the Lord has called someone else to lead this church, we're hoping it's still there for generation after generation. That's our vision for this little church. And if we're good, we'll never be the biggest. But as long as we're a church that's pleasing and does right in God's eyes, and we're a house of prayer, and we're a place where people can come to and feel welcome, then we're doing it right. So that's who we are here at Genesis Church. A little bit more about us. Next thing, this is for our kids. Ms. Lisa and Ms. Darlene, and we all miss y'all so much. We have a great group of children. Just wonderful. And they miss you, we miss you, and be looking in your post office box, in your mailbox this week. Little Bird told me that there may be a little arts and crafts coming out to you. And we are just, we miss y'all, and we miss all our church family, and we can't wait till we see you all in person. Now, our land that we just spoke about, here's a picture of it. It is just out in the woods, and we like it like that. And we're hoping one day, playground, picnic shelter, a place where we can congregate together and have fellowship in Christ. And, of course, a place where we can eat, because all Southern churches, we love to eat. And then also, Operation Bear Hug. This is our ongoing partnership with the Honeypath Police Department, and it's where we provide stuffed animals for the police officers to have in their squad cars, for wherever they go on the scene of crime or some type of wherever they need to go, and there's children there. It's a little bit of peace in the form of a stuffed animal. God can take the smallest thing and do so much with it. And we've had this partnership for about 4 or 5 years. It was started by our previous pastor, Alan Harkey, and our treasurer, Suzanne Colbert McCorder, and they have just helped more children than we'll ever know on this side of the earth. Now, our prayer list. This is one thing that we really pride ourselves on. Every week during this time, we make announcements and see if our family has any updates on anyone on the prayer list, if there's anyone that needs to be added or anyone that could be removed from the prayer list. If you have someone that you would like for us to add to the Genesis Church prayer list, please message me, text me, just let us know, and we'll be glad to add them because we're really strong believers in prayer. And there's a couple folks I'd like to lift up right now, Bennett and Olivia Medlin. Bennett, they're wonderful people, and Ben's in the hospital. He's having to have dialysis. I saw from a Facebook post yesterday, and we want to lift them up. And there's a whole list. I can't forget our nurses, our doctors, our respiratory therapists, our nursing assistants, the housekeepers in the hospitals, basically everyone that's in a hospital, clinic, nursing home, rehab hospital, our first responders. How do these folks get to the hospitals? By ambulances, a lot of them, our paramedics, our police officers, our firefighters, dispatchers, even the folks that are at the funeral homes, they're having to deal with something they haven't had to deal with before. Our teachers, our military, our leaders, everyone's being affected by this. And that's not even counting how life is just going on. Stuff still happens. You know, we have flat tires. We have things that break. We have problems at work. We have other sicknesses. There are cancers, addictions, so many things. So please message me on Facebook. We will definitely, or put them on this post, and we will definitely add them. Matter of fact, I'd like to pray for everyone on our prayer list right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you lifting up everyone on that prayer list, everyone that's in the minds of everyone that's listening to this, Father. Father, whether the problem is physical, spiritual, financial, there's so many of them going around right now. What we know is, no matter what the struggle is, you're stronger than the struggle. Father, we pray for our leaders, our church leaders, our national, state, and local leaders. Father, we pray for all our hospital workers because they are on the front lines. They're in the line of fire. Our first responders, they are right there beside them, Father. Father, we pray for protection for them. Father, we pray that this infection will pass them over. Father, we pray that the doors will open and they'll get everything that they need, Father, including some rest and some recognition for what they're doing right now. Because you said it. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for another. And that's what these people are doing. And Father, we lift up the people with the sicknesses. Father, we lift up the people with the cancer. Father, we lift up these people with a decreased immune system. Father, that you will protect them. Father, there are so many people. This land is in, it always needs you. It always will. And Father, we stand in the gap praying for this land for restoration. We stand in the gap praying for this world. For restoration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this is our website. I forgot to post it last week, I believe. MyGenesisChurch.net. So if you know someone that doesn't have Facebook, I'm recording this. And then one of our board members adds this to the website. You can go there, and if anyone has problems sleeping, it definitely helps you sleep some of my old sermons. And also, wanted to post this verse. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's 2 Corinthians 9:7. Churches, all churches, if you have a home church, I guarantee you they're struggling right now. And we're no different. We have a vision for what we want and what we think God wants us to do in the future. And I'm going to ask that you search your hearts. And if you want to give to help with the church, to keep it going, to help us in our vision for where we want to be at, our mailing address is there right now. It's at the bottom, P.O. Box 130, Hunting Pass, South Carolina, 29654. It'll be posted on our website. We're not set up for electronic giving yet, but we are actually looking at a couple options. And you can still offer your tithe by mail. That'll be fine. We offer either or. Even when we can't give much, God can do much with it. Now, our message this week comes from, well, we'll get to where it comes from in a minute. Y'all have to forgive me. I'm still kind of getting used to, this electronic format. The events of the last few weeks have made us a lot closer to people, some people, than we've been in a long time, and farther away from others. Normal lives, we don't usually spend this much time at home, and we're usually at work or school. Then when we're taken out of our normal routines and we add a whole lot of stress and the unknown to it, we can be a little difficult to get along with sometimes. I know that doesn't apply to you, but I think sometimes I can be. You begin to notice little things about your family. They suck their teeth and they don't put the cap on the toothpaste and all kinds of stuff like that. When you're quarantined with them, that can begin to get on your nerves. Now, Lisa, my wife, who is coincidentally holding this camera, has none of those habits. I don't care what our son says. Along with cabin fever, these little frustrations can start to build up. And they can show themselves, maybe at a store, when you go there for the third time and there's no bread or no toilet paper and there's some clerk and we snap at him or her. Or if we have, maybe go to pick up a takeout at a restaurant, or maybe at our family members, or maybe at coworkers, something that we would normally not ever get upset about. We find ourselves arguing over the smallest thing, and I prayed about what to talk to you about today, and how to treat others was laid on my heart. I think we need it now more than ever. And Jesus, it was so important to him, he spoke about it in his first public ministry, in the Sermon on the Mount. That's where our scripture comes from. Now, before we go any farther, I do want to clarify a couple of things. That I'm not saying if you get a steak well done or something, they bring it out and you go to cut into it and you hear it go moo, that you don't have to send it back. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Treating someone with respect doesn't mean you let them take advantage of you repeatedly. It doesn't mean that you should be in an abusive relationship. That's never okay. Never. That person is doing wrong, and you never, ever, ever need to be neglected or abused. Ever. Some people mistake kindness for weakness. You have a responsibility for your words and behavior, and that other person does as well, whether they assume their responsibility or not. Now, we're going to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. When Jesus starts, he starts talking about, do not be judged, so that you will not be judged, and for in the way you judge, you'll be judged. I can deliver a message just on these two verses. How many people out there have been judged by someone who knows very little about you? Very little. Basically nothing. They take your whole life, they sum it up on a couple words that you say, and take those totally out of context. I heard a rumor about some nurses and techs that worked in the operating room that would Facebook stalk anyone come in to work for them. And they made their decision whether or not they liked that person, how they would treat them, just on their Facebook profile. They must have very high standards. They were losing new people constantly. And they're not unique. There are other people like that, other work situations. Do you think those people would want to receive the same treatment that they were giving those new people? Now, some people use that first verse as an excuse, get out of jail free card. You can't judge me. It's in the Bible. There's a lot of other stuff in there, too. There are 10 commandments. There's a lot of rules. Can't have one of it without the other part of it. Half the 10 commandments are our relationship with others. Half the 10 commandments are about our relationship with God. You can't use that first verse as a defense for what they do and not follow the rest of the book. And I think that Jesus is talking about not talking the talk, but walking the walk. Now, verses 3, 4, and 5, Jesus talks about looking at splinter in his brother's eyes while ignoring the board in his. And I worked with some really good people through the years. I worked with some really lazy people through the years. It's been my experience that the lazy ones tend to have more criticism about your performance and what you need to do than the work that they have done. And that same scenario can take place in a lot of different situations. Other work situations, church. There's a spirit of hypocrisy in many churches that have driven people away from church. And I've left churches before because of the way people have acted on Sunday compared to the way they act the rest of the week. There are some holy rollers out there who can quote scripture to you all day long, but they don't follow any of it. That hurts us. That hurts us so badly. I've experienced it through the years. I imagine a lot of us have. Had a young lady tell me about her father who'd been one of the founding members of a church up in Greenville. And he owned his own business, and he faithfully gave 10% of his business earnings to that church. Then times got hard, and he had to cut back. Stuff happens. The entire board of deacons came to see him about it and to criticize him, throwing scripture around, the examples around about him and his hard heart. One little issue, none of them gave the way that man gave. I guess I couldn't see that log in their eyes. The result of it was church drama, and it was almost split in half. Thankfully, I've spoke to her since then. Last time I talked to her, there's some healing going on in their church, which is always good to hear. The enemy understands the power of hypocrisy, and he can use it inside families, work units, churches, schools, you name it, he can use it. And I think it's a pet peeve of most people to be criticized by someone who's doing the exact same thing they're doing or worse. The reaction is to strike back and or remove yourself from that situation. I know sometimes I just quit listening whenever I have someone that has never done what I've done but criticizes me about doing it. And I think a lot of us are like that. There's no telling how many family members, friends, coworkers that haven't spoken due to a single issue of hypocrisy. Now Jesus goes on to talk about, do not give what is holy to the dogs, do not throw your pearls before swine. As I looked at that, I wasn't real sure how clear on how it fit in with all this. And I started looking at some Bible commentaries and made a really good explanation. All that we are belongs to God. Our life, our energy, our talents. Whether we're quarantined at home, whether we're having to be on the road, whether we're dealing with a sick person, whether we're interacting with someone, what we have belongs to God. And it's precious to Him. How are we using it? How are we using it towards each other? The base communication. Are we being snappy, judgmental, hypocritical? Or are we understanding that everyone's stressed during these times? Are we understanding the little clerk at the grocery store didn't buy up all the bread? Are we understanding that truck driver in front of us may be pulling a double shift? Are we understanding that the hospital workers in our lives are in the most unusual time they've ever had and one of their most stressful times, and are we giving them a little bit of a break? How are we using the pearls that belong to God? We're merely as stewards. We need to show some discernment in how we use God's possessions. It is possible to waste them in ways that would we even remember in 24 hours. Verse 7 and 8, these two verses seem out of place for this scripture. It talks about praying. What does praying have to do with respecting and treating others? Prayer is the foundation of our relationship with God. Relationships are how we communicate with other people. Jesus prayed 25 different times in the Gospels. Pray for God to work through you. We all need to during these times. We all need to anytime. The darkness in this world, the only thing that's ever going to shut it out is the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus being shown through us, it brightens through prayer. Pray for those people who attack you, that God will work in their heart, and that's hard to do. I've had to pray for that. True, honest prayer to God, it works. It does. It may not be how we think it's supposed to work, but it works. And I don't mean just letting God in the living room, asking him for something and shooing him out the door. Let him in your whole house. Let him see the unmatched socks in your spirit. Let him see the halfway done that we ain't got done. Let him see the anger. Let him see the grudges. Let him see the dirty part that we don't like to show. That's how he gets cleaned. Let him see the hurt feelings that we have with those relatives, co-workers, and all those other people that wronged us through the years. And if you go back, how much easier is it to think about and remember when someone attacked you and when someone hurt you than it is when someone did something nice for you? Show those to God. Show the attacks. Show the hurt. And through it, get the healing. Get the forgiveness and give it. We're always the hero in somebody's story. No matter how we try, we're always going to be the villain in someone's story too. And we need to pray to be forgiven for those times that we're the villain in someone's story. Had times in my life where I kept beating on the closed door, not realizing that God had closed it for a reason. His answers to your prayer for that irritating, disrespectful coworker might be talking with him. And since we have such close quarters with family members, it might be family members. You might discover that they're like the way they are for a very painful reason. And God's using you to help them. In verses 9 and 10, and then on into 11. Sometimes we're just put into situations we just don't understand. Bad things happen. We're disrespected, we are the people treating other people in terrible ways. Like I said, we're the hero in someone's story. Try as we might, we'll be the villain in someone's story. I've had times in my life where I felt like I was drowning with all the responsibilities and drama. I prayed to God, and I felt like he said, here's this anchor, just like out of a Looney Tunes cartoon. Have any of you ever felt like that, and you didn't understand why this was happening and why it seemed to get worse after you prayed about it? The people who are hurting you only seem to find new ways to hurt you when you didn't even think it was possible. Then later, if you look back at the situation and realize God was there moving through that situation, moving you through that situation. Maybe you had to leave that job with the coworker who was so disrespectful to you, so mean to you, they sabotaged you, they tried to make you fail. A lot of us have had situations like that. I've had more than one. A door opened and there was a new job there with people that they loved you. They wanted you to succeed. That person you were in a relationship with, it only got worse and worse, and you just couldn't take any more. You endured all the pain and you didn't understand why. Then you meet that person in your life that completes you. And you realize that you were being prepared during that storm to be able to understand and be able to appreciate the person that you're meant to be with. A lot of our learning takes place out of classrooms. A lot of it. God's answers to our prayers for dealing with others may not be what we want them to be. There have been times in my life I've come to realize I've been the one at fault when conflict comes up. There's an old saying about eating crow when you're wrong. I think most of us have that taste in our mouth because we've been wrong at some point, sometime. Verse 12, Jesus talks about treating people the way you want them to treat you. That's a powerful, simple, but powerful statement. That statement sums up so much of what's in God's Word. Think about this world. If people just treated others like they want to be treated. Think about if we all followed this command from Jesus. How much stress would disappear from the everyday lives of people all over the world? How many churches would need extra space and extra seats to fit all the people? Verses 13 and 14. Jesus talks about these last two statements. It almost seems like he's talking about something different, but I don't think so. I think he's saying it's very easy to attack people, to put them down, to be a hypocrite. It's very easy to expose the faults in other people. These actions are not what God intends us to do. So easy to feel that you're better than that person at the restaurant counter, that person mopping up the floor. My first job in the hospital, I was a janitor. I worked with some amazing people, but you would never know it. We were invisible. When someone did acknowledge us, it wasn't usually very nice. Let's impress people. Some people have the attitude, let's impress people by snapping at them. Or let's feel good, let's feel big, let's feel strong about it by taking our stresses out on them because we're more important than they are. No, we're not. We're not. We all have a job to do. As I said before, I've been that person mopping the floor at the hospital in Greenwood. One doctor saw more than a piece of white trash mopping the floor. He encouraged me. He got me to think about hospital careers. I went to the respiratory therapy program because of his advice. I've never forgotten it. He helped to start me on this path. And I am thankful. Well, we don't normally, we weren't playing on music, but evidently someone out there is playing on it, is offering us some music for free. It's easy to do that. It's easy to be everyone else. It's easy to be that person that didn't even really recognize the clerk, the janitor, as another person. That's a very wide road to destruction. It's very easy to get that way. It's hard to treat people like you want to be treated. But that's what we're commanded to do. In Matthew, when Jesus talks about the final judgment, and he talks to the people, God talks to the people, and he says, when I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was in prison, you came to see me. When I was sick, you gave me medicine. When do we do that, Lord? You do for the least of those you have done to me. And unfortunately, there's going to be a crowd over here that he's going to say, get away from me. I don't know you. And they're basically going to say, Lord, we were in church every Sunday. Lord, we did Bible studies. Lord, we were in church car washes. You didn't do for the least of these. I don't know you. Least of these and doing unto that, it is just so many times, just be nice. You don't have to be taken advantage of, but be nice. Just treat somebody like you want to be treated, especially right now. We're all carrying stress. And your family member that has probably gotten on your last nerve, step back and think about it. If it's a child or a teenager, they've never seen anything like this. And they're getting stir crazy because they have twice the energy we have. If it's your spouse, they're trying. They're trying everything they can try. And they're probably scared. and they're probably afraid, and they don't know what's going to happen. And if you're beating yourself up, and you're being mean to yourself, stop. It's okay not to be okay right now. Just be nice. Treat people like you want to be treated. We don't need any extra drama in this world that can be prevented. When you treat others like you want to be treated, you're following the commandment of Jesus. As we go to prayer, look inside your heart. There may be someone that you have hurt or someone that's hurt you. The injury could have happened yesterday or this morning. It could have happened 30 years ago. You've been carrying around all this time, carrying this weight, carrying this wound that would not heal. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive or ask for forgiveness. Lift it up in prayer, asking God to come into that person's heart or asking for forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we just ask that we can follow your commands. Treat others as we want to be treated. Father, at home, at work, at the store, at the restaurant, over the phone. Father, how much would be saved if we could do that? Father, how much sin, how much anger, how much jealousy, how much rage, how much theft, how much goes on because we don't treat others like we want to be treated? Father, so many of us are walking around with grudges and anger and hurt and hurt. And how many of us are walking around the villains in so many stories? Yet we've been the ones causing the hurt and the anger. Father, we lift it up to you. We lift all of this dirty laundry up to you. Clean it. Take it. Heal us. Heal the people we've hurt. Father, help us to see the perspective of the people we are dealing with and the people we're working with and the people we come into contact with. Father, give us discernment. Help us to understand what they're going through and help them to understand what we're going through, Father. And Father, my final prayer is just that your words are heard in this message over mine, and it will light people's souls up to treat others like they want to be treated. And Father, we can carry this outside of these walls, outside the walls of our homes, and carry it out into this world, Father. Even if it is over Facebook, if it is over the phone, if it's through a text, Father, help us just to treat people like we want to be treated. And doing that, we get a step closer to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to close things with our benediction, Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all are loved, praying for all of you, and hope you have a good week. And we're continuing the Facebook Live services, and we're postponing our services for another 2 weeks. And we'll see you next Sunday at 10:30. Thank you for joining.